Warning! This podcast may contain naughty language, including the C word. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, you tuned to Jingles, that's where we talk movies, music, trending news, game, sports, current affairs, and anything else that pops into our brains. I am Richie Sambora, and he is John Bon Jovi.
Let's sing a song for the broken hearted. Ladies and gentlemen, Shingles List, very happy, what day are we? Very happy Friday morning.
No, I'm just going to put it straight out.
Oh, very happy Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, it's Thursday.
Little gift for you on your Thursday.
Weird. It's weird.
Trip home.
We haven't done it like a daytime podcast for ages.
We haven't, have we?
No. I can't remember the last time we did one, actually. It might have been like before...
I think it was the first one at Christmas.
It might have been before the break. I don't know.
Would have been before.
I can't remember.
Would have been before lockdown, yeah.
Because we moved to the evenings, didn't we? When we were doing Man Cave Matters as well. So
yeah.
We did everything in one go in the evenings. But I don't remember the last time we did a daytime one.
I don't think we've done one since we tossed the dwarf out.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Many the regular listeners will realise that there wasn't the usual show on Monday.
Apologies.
Things happened. Life happens, and so then we were going to do one on Tuesday night, and then life happened again.
In a nutshell, it's all been my fault.
Things happen. So today also didn't go according to plan, but it's Thursday afternoon, and the sun's shining. We got here in the end, and we're doing a little cheeky little podcast. A little bit of housekeeping, though. There won't be one on Sunday, or there might be one on Sunday, depending on if I get back.
There could also be a midweek one next week.
Yeah, I don't really know. And I've got like my final project's due in like 3 weeks as well, so there's a good chance there might not be one for 3 weeks until that gets done. So this could be the last one for about a month. There might also be one on Monday, so it could go either way. That's the housekeeping done. How are you?
I'm all right, matey. How are you?
I'm tired as well,
you know.
I woke up at about 10 to 2 in the morning with a little bit of a cough.
Mm.
And you know when something just tickles your throat?
Was it dawn?
And you can't know. No, she was flat out fast asleep. When something just tickles your throat and you can't get rid of it and it's just making you cough and it won't go away. And then I kept coughing and kept coughing. And then I sat up and I coughed again. And then the coughing started turning into a little bit of heaving because I'm coughing so much. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to go downstairs because I'm waking the fucking street up here. So let's go downstairs, go into the bathroom. I'm coughing. And then the coughing turns into like this. And I'm not throwing up. There's nothing coming out.
It's just, your throat.
I just can't get rid of this cough and it's making me gag. I did end up like... you know, bringing up a little bit of rubbish and like bile, like stomach acid, because I was just heaving that much. But I was like, my eyes were red raw. I was sweating. Just sat on the bathroom floor, like shaking a little bit.
Increase your water.
And an absolute like, I look. Have you seen The Whale with Brendan Fraser? Like. I was just sat on naked on the bathroom floor, sweating. Like I'd imagine that, or that thing out of fucking Blade.
Just get ready for just get ready for gifts galore later.
It's just
or
like
pill.
I was like, I really hope nobody comes downstairs right now because like I'm an
for
absolute
what you know, for what you know,
state.
Is Dawn may have walked downstairs, just looked, and just turned
and
back
just
around,
gone back up. That bad. So, yeah, it took me a short while to kind of recover from that. So I did go back up to bed, but I ended up just kind of like lying there awake, trying not to cough again. A bit tired. But apart from that, all gravy.
I'm the same. We had a nighttime fixture last night, 7:45 kickoff. Both the babies in tow. I say babies, they're 8 and 10 now. I can't keep getting away with this baby stuff, but they are.
They're your babies, though.
They are. I know I've got to stop doing this with the little boy, though. Look, he's 8.
It's fine.
He's like looking at me like this now.
It's fine.
What are you playing at? But anyway, so obviously that doesn't finish till 10. Then I get in, and I've got a real thing about getting in, and I have to have an hour sitting.
Yes.
Like just
Sitting
silence.
And yeah, just like
just being alone with thoughts and calculating what's gone on with the day and all of that lot. And then I can go to bed. The downside is when you're getting in at 10:30 at night, you're then getting changed, you're then sitting down, and then it's 12 o'clock, and then you've got to have tea as well.
That was always the thing about working in restaurants and you know, getting home late, especially at the weekends. That's if, you know, we didn't go out and get slaughtered after, but, you know, you were getting home late, but you had to wind down, you know what I mean? You've just done a stupid busy shift, and you're getting home at 1 a.m, and you're still in, like, work mode, and you've got to wind down, and, you know, you need to take that hour or so just to get it all out of your system before you can relax and go to sleep, which is why a lot of us did drink all the time, because like you'd be wide awake and it'd be like, well, it was pointless going home. I'll have a couple of beers, and then the couple of beers that just turn into staying out, and it's just a vicious circle, because then the next day, you know, you're up early again for work and you're fucking hungover. So, you know, what do you do to fucking cure an hangover?
You become a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, you have another drink. You have another drink. You have a fucking beer and you go, oh, it's better. Okay, crack on with the day.
Yeah.
And I can see, you can see why a lot of like chefs end up relying on the beer. But yeah, just that wind down thing was,
I wonder if that's where it's come from with me then.
I don't know. I don't really do it anymore now. Because now I finish at reasonable time. So, you know, you're just generally winding down as you know, I get home and do the bits and bobs that need doing, and then, you know, sit, have some food and a brew and whatnot. And you're doing that general wind down. But yeah, if you're doing something in the evening, you know, playing football or working or whatever, then you need that time. And if you're home late, it's turned midnight and you're like, fuck, okay.
So this is one of the reasons the podcast's been moved around and shuffled this week. So Monday I was in That There London all day, selling my soul. And then obviously that was a late train. It wasn't a late train back, but it was a train back.
Yes.
And it takes a lot out of you when you look at your watch and you've done 24,000 steps. Your legs are tired, etc., etc. And then Tuesday I had a football match, which I completed the full 90 of and shouldn't have really done. So that was a late night as well, because that was a nighttime kickoff and I played in that one. And then we had the nighttime kickoff last night with the ladies. We won 11-1. We had the nighttime kickoff with the ladies. Great time. The kids were working in the bar and on the gate, so everyone got charged everything last night because they had that cute thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to pay, please. You've got pay, get in. Yeah, go on then. There you go. Bumper crowd yesterday. And then the getting home, and then the late night, and then the early morning up, because the kids are going to school and you can't just lie there playing with your belly button while they're all getting ready and that type of stuff. So, yeah, just a low ebb of energy today.
Yeah, it was definitely one of their mornings this morning. But, you know, I had to be up. I had to get myself ready because I had a hair appointment. So I had to go and get the old bonnet trimmed because I'm going to a wedding at the weekend.
You said?
So, that's why.
Whose wedding is it?
It's my friend Scott and his good lady Mrs. Toria. And it's going to be much, much fun. I'm looking forward to it. Scott's ace, man. I really like Scott. He's only somebody who I met like through lockdown, and it's one of them weird situations where, you know, you should never meet strangers from the internet. Well, I did, and he's ace. So,
oh, I thought you meant you haven't met him yet.
No, 100% met him. Well, we had like the little Instagram kind of group chat thing with a few.
Was that the vinyl?
Yeah, the community. And he got added to the group, and I did a little bit of Facebook stalking like on him because I knew he was quite local. It turned out we've got friends in common and whatnot, and then we got talking, and he's like seen my old band play live, and I knew of his old band, and he lived in Stoke for a bit. He's from Burton, and which is, you know, it's just down the road, isn't it? Like, yeah, you know what I mean, it's just same river, Like, you just get on the river, walk, swim, just swim down the river.
Get in a kayak.
So, you know, we got mutual friends and whatnot, mutual tastes in music, and we got chatting, we had the record thing and whatnot. And then there was a record fair, an outdoor record fair in Newcastle, and he said he was driving up for it. And I was like, oh, well, I'll come fucking meet you then, why not? And, a friendship blossomed from there, to the point where I got invited to his wedding, which is ace. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be cool, and it's a black wedding. So we're all the attire.
It's a bit racist.
I
get what you mean. A black tie wedding.
I've been and bought extra boot polish. And I don't know if I'm going to do the lips. That might be a little bit too far.
No, you go too far for that. You have to stay Al Jolson.
It's completely as black as possible with the dress code. And the gentlemen get to choose a colour of bow tie though. So I've got the black suit, I've got black shirt, the black shoes, but I'm going to go with a blue bow tie because it brings out my eyes.
See, I would have gone with the white trousers and the black top.
Well, you can't because it's black. You've got to wear black trousers.
That's black. It's not a black tie event.
It's not a black tie event. It's a black event.
It's a black event.
Yeah. The missus was a bit like, so I've got a dress and I'm going to need a shawl. So I got her a shawl like to go over the shoulders. And she's like, I'm going to go get some blue earrings. And I went, no, you're not. She's like, what do you mean? I said, it's black. You've got to get black. She's like, well, I can wear blue earrings. No, you can't. You've got to wear black. It's a black dress code. It's black. She's like, well, not the accessories. I'm like, no, yeah, it's black. Read the invitation. For fuck's sake, it's on the invitation.
Yeah, but black tie doesn't mean everything black.
Just read it. But it's not. It's black attire. Yeah,
black attire.
So, and she's like, no. And it took a couple of days for me to be like, right, you're not getting this, are you? You need to be. Now, they're expecting a little pop of colour here and there, you know what I mean? Your black earrings might be hanging off a silver chain or a gold chain or something like that. You know, that's fine, but as black as possible. That's the aesthetic. That's what they're going for.
I'd wear a Kangol hat backwards. You stop turning into Arnie every
time. One of the like a flat cap.
Yeah.
The Kangol flat caps. Like.
Yeah, on backwards, yeah. Pair of shades, big clock.
Big clock. Black clock.
Yeah. Big pair of baggy jeans.
We're there for the day. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna have drinks.
And there's no kids invited, I believe.
Yeah, it's a childless wedding as well. The drinks will be flowing, and the body will be loose. Dave will be dancing. It's going to be fun. Although I do need to be careful with the old trousers. Like they're not tight, but no slut drops. That's all I'm saying.
There's a reason the podcast isn't going to be on next Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll run it down. And it's not going to be due to a hangover. It's going to be due to a knee problem. What's going to happen next Sunday.
Knee's fucked. Like,
I know, but after a night of dancing with yourself, a couple of whiskeys in.
The ibuprofen and whiskey will be strong on that
ibuprofen,
day.
A couple of whiskeys in. If they play Starship, it's game over.
I've got Tubi Grip at the ready. It's good. My knee's fucked. That's the other thing that's happened this week. The knee is gone.
Done.
A few years ago, I tore the cartilage, and it's the meniscus, and never really recovered from that. In all fairness, like they said, they wanted to do surgery, and then they were like, "If we do surgery, though, you're out of action for about 6 months. So, do you want to try just physio?" And I was like, "Yeah," because I cannot afford to have 6 months off work.
You're not out for 6 months. That's a massive over-exaggeration.
So. I just opted for the physio, and I did the physio, and things were fine, but every now and then it flares up again and whatnot. But yeah, this week it's just, I've done something, and it's just caused it to go twang, and it's not the greatest.
See the scars on the sides of the knees somewhere?
Yeah.
That's a meniscus operation.
Yeah, your knees look like Klingon's foreheads, don't they? Because, like, you've had that many fucking ops on them. That's the one.
That's
there
the one
is.
That's all mashed up.
Yeah.
That's been fully replaced. But no, a meniscus one, matey. You can now on a meniscus one. So if you go to the hospital, the way to work the NHS now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, if you've got an injury, you don't go into A&E saying, I've got an injury, or book it with the GP. Basically, ham it up like there's no tomorrow. Go into A&E like, oh my God, my knee, my country for my knee. What's happened? I've taken a fall. Oh my days, my knee. Oh my God. So you get rushed through. Yeah, past all the people with the cuts on the fingers. Straight in. All you guys who've got a flu and all the newborn babies that are in there, because we know what parents are like when you have a newborn baby. Moment it gets a temperature, you're straight back in the hospital and all that type of stuff. So it's full of all those guys, which is great and gravy. You'll get flown through there, guys, and then just basically go for that. You can get in on the Saturday for a meniscus operation now. Brilliant on a Saturday, kick you back out on the same Saturday, but you walk out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all different now. Did you know they keep you awake now for a hip replacement?
I did not know that.
They keep you awake?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I understood that they could. I didn't realise it was just routine.
Yeah, now they, because you can't administer painkillers after anaesthetic.
They had to do that with...
So when what do women have in the back when they have a baby?
Epidural.
That's what you have when you're having a hip replacement now.
Yeah, they had to do it with my old man once because of his heart condition, and I don't know whether it was the cancer as well, but they couldn't put him under because there was the chance that his heart wasn't strong enough to take the anaesthetic. So he had to have a big operation while he was awake, and they put that curtain over your neck so you can't see what's going on. But you can't feel anything.
Oh, you can hear it, though.
But you can hear it, and it, you can feel the pulling and the pushing and the tugging. It's just that there's no, pain, you know what I mean?
Knee was done when I was awake.
Yeah, which I just, I don't know how I feel about that. I'd kind of be fascinated. And I know, they have the screens, don't they? They have the cameras, going into you.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know whether I'd be can I watch the screens?
You can.
And it's you don't want to do that, sir. No, seriously, let me watch the screens. Oh, no, put the curtain up.
I've seen, no word of a joke, because I was awake for my knee. I've seen the inside of my knee joint.
That's amazing.
I've seen my knee being replaced. I watched it. Well, I didn't watch it there. I watched it there. Because as they're operating, the cameras and everything they put in, and it's all displayed on a unit. So I watched it as he was doing it.
Oh, mate.
It was horrible, though, because it was you can feel it's what I imagine being like if you're paralysed from the waist down being eaten by a shark. It's there's a weird...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not stomach turning, but it's, you can, it's like you're frozen with fear.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're watching people just cutting in your skin.
Oh,
then just every horror movie you've ever imagined.
It's something
I
fucking saw, isn't it?
Just every... when I had that done, Saw wasn't out, but Kruger had been out and a few other things had been out. So just imagine every horror movie that you've got in your imagination and all terrible things you're imagining, and then you're lying down in a gown... surrounded by loads of people in masks, watching them just cutting you, and you can't feel a thing.
Do you know, my lady had carpal tunnel decompression on her right hand.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the doctor said to her, or the consultant, was, look, we're going to do this operation, you'll be awake, but you won't feel a thing, and we won't let you see what's going on either. What we're going to say is, though, don't Google it. And don't watch it on YouTube, because you won't turn up. So the first thing I did when she said that was YouTube, carpal tunnel decompression, go. And I was it's fascinating and fucking grim at the same time. Yeah. Oh my God. I can see why they don't want you to watch this. Turn it off. This is fascinating, but it's fucking
just
vile.
Primal screaming at your computer.
Oh, God. Do you know, throughout lockdown, I can't remember what the name of the channel is. I could find it, but it was a science channel, and it was people that deal with cadavers, dead bodies, and they show you the way things work in the body on this channel. So it's all fucking limbs and your insides and it was wow weird. And one of them, I remember this one, because they were showing you how a COVID test worked, and where the fucking cotton bud is meant to go in your nose. So they had like the cadaver and they cut it like down the front. So through the nose, the chin. So it was like the head was in
so
half.
So it was just like someone had got a piece of glass and gone.
Yeah, yeah, and through the middle of your head. So it was like a cross section, so you could see the nose and everything. And it's like in one breath you're like, oh my god, disgusting. And in the other breath you can't stop watching. Yeah. It's fascinating. they were showing you how like vocal cords work, how your how like your windpipe and your food pipe are different.
Yeah, two different things,
and how the valve works that stops food from going down. That it's fascinating, but it's also fucking gross. Because these bodies have been preserved as well, so they're a weird colour. Like nothing's the colour it's meant to be. They're all this weird browny grey. Yeah. Like, and you just like you realise that. Oh God, I am just like a central nervous system in a fucking meat suit. That's what we are. We're just walking meat suits with this massive computer that we don't understand in our heads, like connecting everything together. And like, look, I'm lifting my arm up. How the fuck am I doing that?
How do I
know how to do that?
Yeah. Like, you've got a signal that makes you do this with your fingers. Yeah.
You have a signal that's making me fucking talk now, like making me vocal cords like move the way they should move.
And it's
to make these
it's
noises.
Completely subconscious.
It's completely
as well.
Subconscious. Breathing.
Yeah, completely subconscious. Like, I think I'm with you now. You get open a rabbit hole.
Do you ever
now.
Forget how to breathe?
I think it's fantastic how your body's designed. No, seriously. Do you know you can't kill yourself? Do you know your body's programmed?
Okay, yeah.
You can't choke
like,
yourself
choke
out.
Choke yourself
you
out.
You can't choke yourself
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You literally couldn't. You can kill yourself, but you need external things. I get the correction. what I mean, without adding accessories or going to the top of something very high and posting it out that way, if you choke yourself, your body will go to sleep, your hands will let go.
Will let go, yeah.
And you will wake up.
Well, it's like.
I think that little things like that's amazing.
It's like when it's
like a fail safe.
When I go and give blood, I went and gave blood once and there was a guy in the bed next to me and he passed out. And like the nurses are shit, aren't they? Upside down he goes in the bed and he wakes up upside down a couple of seconds later. He was only out for a couple of seconds and he wakes up and he's like, why am I upside down? Like, he had no recollection of what had happened. And they're like, you've passed out, sir. Well, you know, we've cancelled the donation, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what do you mean I've passed out? And he's like, why have I passed out? And it's like, because your body thought you were dying.
Yeah.
Your body thought you
so
were dying.
It's a reset.
All this blood is coming out of your body and your body thinks you're dying, so it shuts you down because it needs to keep the vital organs going, it needs to keep the lungs breathing, it needs to keep the heart pumping.
Yeah.
And if you're awake, it's doing other things, so it shuts you down. That's what happens when you pass out, so that everything goes to the heart and the lungs to keep everything working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is fascinating.
It's amazing,
it's
isn't it?
It's brilliant.
It's got like fail-safes all over it.
Yeah, how the body works. You know, but yeah, watching them YouTube channels, it's like, it's fucking gross.
But little things like skin.
Yeah.
Like skin, I know this is silly, we can draw on it, we can wash it, we can clean it.
Yeah.
We can slice it, and even though we have, obviously reminiscence of where you've been sliced and things like that, and scarring, it's self-healing.
Yeah.
It heals itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why... In my opinion, some diseases have been lab made, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, totally different.
But I think the human, its organs, the skin, this whole meat sack on this whole spinning little orb that we are.
Meat suit.
I think it's amazing.
It is fascinating. I did watch, I don't know if I mentioned this a couple of podcasts ago, actually, but I really wanted to watch RoboCop. And, RoboCop 2, where they've got the central nervous system in you know, the eyes and the brain and all the nerves in the fucking jar. And it's like, I remember watching it as a kid and being fascinated and freaked out. And that's what this YouTube channel like just brings back. It's like, oh, because that's real. That isn't like Hollywood puppetry. That's fucking real. That is somebody's actual liver.
RoboCop transformed my childhood.
RoboCop's fucking nice. Third one's a bit weird, but
The first one's a legend. Anyway,
second one's better.
Just media, trending news. What have we done this week, or what have we done in the past week? We got reacquainted with our good old friends Bon Jovi.
We have. Yeah. We have. I have been waiting for this documentary to come out. I've seen the trailers, and I'd seen it was out on whatever fucking date it was, and I've just been waiting and waiting and waiting and for it to come out. And then my lady loves Bon Jovi, big Bon Jovi fan, and I was like, normally with like music documentaries, she's like, I'm not bothered. And I was like, do you want to watch this Bon Jovi documentary that's just gone on to Disney Plus? I said, it's a four-parter. Each part is the length of a film.
Yeah.
But I really want to watch it. So if you want to watch it, we're watching it this weekend. I'm not waiting for you. We're watching it this weekend. And she's like, yeah, I do. And we did it over 2 days. I mean, day one, we shouldn't have watched the second episode. It was stupid fucking late. We were dead tired.
But it was like
we need to watch the next one. And you know why we need to watch the second one, because you came into me and you were like, Richie Sambora turned up at the end.
I know. So just back you up before into it. Bon Jovi's an American rock band formed in 1983 in New Jersey. The band consists of singer John Bon Jovi, keyboardist Davey Bryan, drummer Tico Torres, guitarist Phil X, or new guitarist Phil X, and bassist Hugh McDonald. Original bassist Alec John Such left the band in 1994 and has unfortunately passed. And Richie Sambora left the band in 2013. The band have been credited with bridging the gap between heavy metal, rock, and pop.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah, that's... And that is the gist of it. If you could pick one band that bridges that gap, you know, metalheads like Bon Jovi, not all of them, because some of them are pretentious fucks, but metalheads like Bon Jovi, people who just listen to pop music like Bon Jovi.
Like Bon Jovi.
People who like country music like Bon Jovi. No. You know what I mean? It's like they really are the band that everybody can like.
So what did Bon Jovi bring to me? So I was never into really rock music. Mm-hmm. Something happened to me. I know what happened to me in 1989. It was the Poison album by Alice Cooper.
Okay, yeah.
Right, now I've got no idea why I bought that tape. I think it was to do with the cover. It had Alice Cooper in a leather jacket, white T-shirt and black leather trousers. I bought that, and then that took me on a musical journey, if you will. Bon Jovi were my link into rock music, if you see where I'm coming from. I was very, very soul-enthused. Thin Lizzy, but that's not really rock. It's glam rock.
Okay.
So I was with Thin Lizzy, glam rock, and that type of genre. John Bon Jovi or Bon Jovi gave me that.
Yeah.
Straight introduction to, even though I hate their first song I ever heard, don't say it, because I try to go all year without listening to it, and I've had to start that again now. but then I heard Keep the Faith, and that original bass line, that moment I went, oh, what's this? And then I started to listen to Keep the Faith. Then I started to get into the albums more and more and more.
Yeah,
and the
songs. Yeah.
What's your favourite Bon Jovi song?
My favourite Bon Jovi song?
Yeah.
Dry County.
We've had it.
Dry County. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's definitely Richie Sambora's finest moment. The solo on that song is just unbelievable. The song itself, it's nearly 10 minutes, and it tells a story, and it's got highs and lows, and it's just... It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's pretty much perfect. The harmony, the vocal harmonies in it are perfect. John's voice is on point. Richie Sambora sings on it.
They're all in prime, you know, there, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, John Bon Jovi did a lot of the harmonies on the recordings. And, you know, Richie Sambora do them live. But that track, you know, it is Richie Sambora singing as well as John Bon Jovi. It's just perfect. It's so good. And, you know, you've got... what I find with bands and albums, bands will release like an album that's massive.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like Def Leppard with Hysteria. You know what I mean? Pyromania was pretty big. And, you know, they come out with Hysteria and it's huge. They have 7 singles off a 9-track album. It's like, what the fuck? And then Adrenalize comes out and it's pretty much just as big. Like, it, you know, so you get, then the next album comes out and it's like, oh, it's a bit of a slump. And with Bon Jovi, at that era, you know, Slippery When Wet, massive. New Jersey, massive. Keep the Faith. This is the bit where it should slump. And it doesn't. It doesn't slump. It's a fucking huge album and it's perfect.
But there was a massive difference between Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Def Leppard. Oh, I'm going through the that genre of bands. Bon Jovi's out body of work was really poor to start off with.
Oh, yeah.
For the first two albums.
First two albums are shy.
Just my humble opinion. And then once they gathered pace, they were fine for the next 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's only since they've gone into their old man rock band, or what I like to call the Rod Stewart phase. And you get that reference, yeah, because he's started doing it now. Songs that would never sell one copy if they released it earlier on in the career, yeah? You'd be criticising the hell out of them if they released that earlier on in the career. They've now moved to that old state, which I really like.
Yeah.
I really do like that, because the one thing I don't like about old rock bands is where they're trying to recapture.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking where he was going with this documentary. Mm. He was trying to find what Bon Jovi used to sound like.
I think with certain bands, so let's take Slayer, for example.
Mm.
Thrash metal band, you know, one of the big four from the 80s. Slayer never changed. They didn't have to change. They did do that kind of weird album, Diabolus and Musica, which is still a good album, where there was a little bit of a change of pace there. But they were a thrash metal band. Slayer did what Slayer do. Mm. And they did that right to the end, right to the last album. They didn't change. They didn't have to. Whereas some bands, like, they try and change with the times a little bit too much.
Yeah.
For example, Motley Crue, you know what I mean? They were part of that glam metal scene of the 80s. You know, you can put Bon Jovi into that scene for them, you know, Slippery When Wet, New Jersey, kind of. But, like, where Motley Crue tried to go down that grunge route, even Kiss did a fucking grunge album.
Yeah.
And it's like, what have you got to be angsty about, Gene Simmons? Your boots have been in more pussy than me. It's
my,
like,
tongue is massive.
It's ridiculous. You know, but, like, Hot in the Shade, that Kiss album, it's a good album, but it's like, you didn't need to do that, Kiss. Just keep being Kiss. But that's something that they've done throughout the career.
They did a disco album. I'm sorry, it was immense.
It was brilliant, yeah. but, you know, Motley Crue went down that grungy route. Def Leppard went down that grungy route. Their 90s album, I think it was Slang, is, like, really grungy. And it's like, doesn't work. Like, whereas Bon Jovi didn't. They just adapted the sound to...
They just grew with their sound.
Yeah, they just grew. The sound developed. The sound did change. It became a bit more commercial. And it's like, you know, they're not a grunge band. And glam metal wasn't a thing anymore. And they just wrote really good songs. Good rock songs.
As Bon Jovi got older, they've moved away, I feel, they've moved away from the albums. And what they've done, they've become a major singles band. Because they know they've only got drop one every 3-5 years to be relevant.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, we've worked 5 years on this song. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Go.
I think, he's at the stage now, John Bon Jovi, where he doesn't have to do it anymore. He could just go, you know what? I'm just going to keep... I'm done. No more albums. No more tours. I've got the money. I can relax. He can run his, he do his charity work, his soup kitchens and whatnot. You know, he can go into all of that and do that instead, which must be hugely fulfilling for him. He doesn't have to do this. He does it because he wants to. You know what I mean? He wants to sing. He wants to get out there on stage. And he can't sing like he used to. You know what I mean? His voice isn't as good as it used to be. He
the band's
to,
not the same band as it used to be.
The band's not the same band, yeah. You know, he has to drop the key on these songs. Mm-hmm. But he's a performer and he's a songwriter. And that's what he likes doing and that's what he wants to do. And something he says, which I love this, in the documentary, if I can give 100% of 80%, then that's not good enough. Yeah. It's time to call it a day.
I agree with him.
Yeah. If it's 100% of 80%, then no. And God bless him. You know, he's had that throat surgery. And we listened to the new single before we started recording. I really like the new single. I think it's great. What's the album going to be like? You know, will it just be mediocre? You know, we also discussed this with Bon Jovi. You know, you've got that run of albums. You've got Slippery When Wet, New Jersey, Keep the Faith. These days, a different sounding album again.
Yeah.
But the singles were great, and the album's great. It's a really good album, start to finish. You know, it sounds like the mid-90s, but it's not grungy.
Nope.
It's it's a little bit more maybe like indie orientated. It's a great album. And then you've got Crush, which the public fucking loved. Like, it did so well. It's My Life. It was bigger than Living on a Prayer.
Was it?
Yeah. It's My Life was bigger than Living on a Prayer. It's crazy. Like, and you know, once
again, don't make as much bloody money as Living on a Prayer over years.
Once again, like, not my favourite Bon Jovi album, but still solid start to finish.
I've got Start again now. What date? 2nd of May. Right, brilliant.
Okay, well.
That song.
Oh, Living on a Prayer.
Giggity.
Yeah, so, yeah, you got, like, just a run of five massive albums that were brilliant. And then you move into the next era of Bon Jovi, if you ask me, where, you know, they're not quite as good as they used to be. The singles are still good. The albums are good. But they do kind of fall into the background a little bit. You're listening to them and you might lose a bit of concentration and you'd be doing something
it's
else.
Super fun time.
And then you're like, oh shit, I was listening to this Bon Jovi album. That kind of just filtered its way
into
the background.
They've got a definitive 10 million fans on the globe.
You know,
stuff out all the time.
Was it Bounce? Bounce was the next one. Then Have a Nice Day. Once again, the singles were great. You know what I mean? The albums were all right. The country album, Lost Highway, was great. And I get why they did it. You know, they had a song in the country charts from Have a Nice Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, okay, let's lean into this a bit then. Let's see where we go with this style of songwriting. The album's brilliant,
mm-hmm.
especially because I only paid £1 for it. But it's fucking nice. The Circle was the next one. But then, you know, you get them. Now you're into, like, there's only a couple more albums with Richie Sambora, and you're into the new phase of Bon Jovi, where
it doesn't sound like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, it doesn't sound.
It doesn't.
I always find that really a really weird thing to say, because if you say to John Bon Jovi, "Oh, this album doesn't sound like Bon Jovi," and he goes, I am Bon Jovi.
No, no.
Of course it sounds like Bon Jovi, because this is Bon Jovi.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not, John. And I think that's where he's got a little bit west in it. You can tell, you, as a guitar player, I'm 6 lessons in guitar, okay?
Yeah.
This hand's cool. This hand still doesn't want to know. And I'm not talking to my right hand right now, because it's not getting this whatsoever. Right, that aside. My ears can tell the difference between Richie Sambora. I never get his name wrong. Richie Sambora and the new guitarist.
Mm.
One's a strum, one's a pluck.
You can tell the difference.
Massively.
And that's
the Bon Jovi sound.
Yeah. The
only because he started in the back, and I know he didn't do Runaway, but Runaway is a different sound completely to Bon Jovi.
For me,
not John Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi is John Bon Jovi, but Bon Jovi became the five of them, then the four of them, but the five of them. And that sound came from them five players, you know, them five musicians. Whereas, you know, initially, Bon Jovi is
John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi. And there's a lot of bands where you can swap people out, and it's like, yeah, that doesn't really make a difference. You know, nobody can really tell. But with Bon Jovi, you're right. You know what I mean? You take like Richie Sambora out, and you've got a whole new style of playing. Sometimes it's for the better. Sometimes it's for the worse.
And I agree.
You know, and what I think what I prefer to say is these later albums, they don't sound like 1980s, 1990s Bon Jovi. They sound like Bon Jovi now. This is what Bon Jovi sounds like now. They're in the later stages of the career. They're writing more commercial friendly songs. Mm. They're not these massive stadium epics anymore. And it's a different sound.
But I liken it to Robbie and Guy Chambers.
Because
they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 albums together.
Mm.
And then Robbie went, I need to try do this on myself.
Yeah.
I need to do all the writing myself, all the thing and everything else. I think he had 2 albums.
Did Rude Box, didn't he? And what was that? I can't remember the one after that.
The one after that, he had Candy in it. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Rejoin, Take That. Dun, 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 dun. Or was the heavy entertainment show before Take That, and then he rejoined Guy Chambers and did the heavy entertainment show. That sounds like a Robbie Williams album. The 2 albums before that, where Guy wasn't on there, didn't sound like a Robbie Williams album.
Yeah, it was a new thing. Yeah,
it was Robbie Williams.
But it was still Robbie Williams.
Yeah. What all I'm saying is, it's like having these group of 4 guys on the wall and taking out that guy,
yeah,
and saying it's still the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. You can replace Ringo.
No, you can't.
No, you can.
No, you can't.
No, you can.
Ringo Starr's the best Beatle. He's a legend.
Yeah, you can replace Ringo Starr.
You can't replace Ringo. Ringo had his own style of playing.
In fact, some people say he was replaced a long time ago, and he hasn't been seen since the 60s.
If you take Ringo out of the Beatles, you don't get the Beatles.
You get the Beatles sound.
You get a different sound, yeah. The way that Ringo played the drums is pivotal to that sound.
Is exactly what Richie said with Sambora, he's a plucker, not a strummer.
This is a new Bon Jovi with a new sound. That's where we're at now, you know what I mean? So this is now what Bon Jovi sounds like. It's not that Bon Jovi, it's different. But you could also
I just wish he called it John Bon Jovi.
You could also say that, you know, Crush is different to Slippery When Wet.
But the style and sound.
Yeah, it's...
If you listen to the sound's very similar. It does, it's very similar. I'm very passionate about Richie, I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, you know what? His solo albums are fucking ace.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I realize. His first one is very Whitesnake. And he's... what was the other one called?
He is one of the most underrated guitar and songwriters.
He's brilliant,
probably in the world.
Yeah, he's because his guitar work's phenomenal.
With Bon Jovi, they associate John Bon Jovi to Bon Jovi, and I think he gets overlooked. And I think that was, if we were watching as you watch the documentary, I think that's what his problem was. I think he felt a bit overlooked.
Yeah, I mean,
over what the fallout was.
I always remember watching something about Bon Jovi, and it wasn't about Bon Jovi. It was about the music scene at that time, and there was a guy. You know, you knew that Motley Crue were partying. You know what I mean? You knew that they were on a shit ton of drugs, and they were sticking the dicks in anything. And Bon Jovi came across as this quiet, almost like clean cut, good boys and whatnot. And this guy who worked, like, he was part of the crew, and he was like, they weren't. They were the fucking worst. They were worse. They were worse than Motley Crue.
But they never, their parties were after the gig.
Yeah, it was like they never did anything. The fucking worst.
They had a band rule. They had a band rule, though, didn't they? We're going. There was only one time they broke that band rule, and that was in Russia.
Yeah, I mean,
where they just wanted to leave.
I know. John Bon Jovi said, you know, he did the drugs weren't his thing, but he did drink. Same as me. You know what I mean? Drugs weren't my thing. I just fucking drank. But it's Apparently, they were the absolute worst, like, of all of them. You just didn't know about it.
They partied with Michael Jackson's chimp, Bubbles. Did you know that?
I didn't know
so
that.
So there's a good interview going...
I want to party with Bubbles.
There's a good interview going around. They were staying in the same hotel as Michael Jackson.
Okay.
So they were Bon Jovi then. Mm. And they said, you know, Michael wants to meet you and Richie. So come up to his suite. So they've gone up to Michael Jackson's suite and they've met Michael and had some lunch with him and blah, blah, blah and everything else and said, look, the whole band's downstairs. Do you want to come and hang out? And Michael Jackson said, you know, I can't really come and hang out, but I can send Bubbles down instead. This is true. You can find this interview.
Right. Go on.
So John Bon Jovi went,
I can send Bubbles down.
Yeah, yeah. So Michael Jackson sent, on behalf of Michael Jackson, Bubbles the chimp down. And they said, did you party with that chimp? And John Bon Jovi said, oh, that chimp partied worse than we did. that chimp got into everything that poor chimp did. Yeah, yeah, that chimp partied. You know, so, yeah, right. Michael Jackson sent Bubbles to go party with John Bon Jovi and Bon Jovi instead of Michael Jackson going to visit the whole band. He was like, and that was
beggar's the belief.
Just stories when rock bands are in the same hotel and... Are you coming down for a drink? Nah. You can have me chimp, though. What?
I don't know what level of famous do you have to get to for shit like that, you know what I mean?
It's not like fame, it's wealth.
I'm bored now, buy me a monkey.
It's wealth.
It's fuck
you imagine, me. You imagine being that rich, you're sitting in your mansion, and you're going, oh no, I've got that.
Just watching...
No, I've got that as well.
Watching the footage of him, Michael Jackson, walking around Harrods, and he was just walking around Harrods going, oh, I'll have that. I'll have that. Oh, I'll buy that. I'll buy that. And then he points at him and goes, I'll buy that. And one of his aides goes, oh, you've already bought that. Oh, okay. Well, I'll have another one. And I'll buy that. And I'll buy that. And it's like... Wow.
Excess.
It's just crazy.
So, yeah, so the levels of wealth. But imagine if I won the Euro lottery.
Yeah.
So imagine 120 million. Straight away, I'd buy a house in the country.
Yeah.
And then I'd be sitting there going, deer. I'm going to buy some deer. Deer for wandering around. And then you go from... And you've just got no limit to your imagination. You've got no one in the bank going, no. Because everyone loves you spending money.
Yeah.
Because you've got money. And when you get to that level of wealth, if you don't spend money, it costs you money.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Jackson, every year, when it got to about end of February, mid-March, he's got his accountant on the phone going, look, if you don't blow 20 million, you're going to have to pay more tax. So Michael Jackson's like, shall we have a giraffe? But imagine that, eating breakfast...
Here comes the giraffe.
And the giraffe walks past your window.
It's a crazy thing, man. It's like that having that level of money where you go, I'm going to have a zoo. And then when you try and like sell the animals and nobody wants them, you have to give them away. You have to pay. You have to pay to get rid of them. It's
the best form if I've heard of this is, what was the big Cuban drug lord?
It's gone.
The big Cuban drug lord around here, he had a zoo as well. Mexican. One of the cartel runners. Chapo.
All know who you mean.
You know what I'm on about. But anyway, he had a massive, massive house and he kept hippos and he kept alligators and they're not native to the area. And do you know when he got killed? Those animals just escaped.
Yeah.
And in the area to where his house is now, do you know they've got problems with, like, wild hippos? And just random animals just wandering around because no one thought we need relocate this hippo because they're not native to Mexico, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And now people have just got problems with alligators.
Yeah.
Problems with hippos.
Hippos, man.
All hippos, in the neighbourhood.
Hippos just... started fucking...
If you leave them for long enough, if you leave an animal like a hippo, I suppose, or an alligator for long enough in a continent which it's the correct heat for it, it's only going to adjust its diet.
Do you know, there's an island somewhere. I don't know where this island is, but it's it's known for having a shit ton of rabbits on the island because, like, there was humans there at one point and somebody must have brought... It's like fucking Red Dwarf with cat. Like, somebody must have brought a rabbit along with them or a couple of rabbits and then left and the rabbits stayed there and then rabbits did what rabbits do. And now this island is, like, overrun with rabbits. Like, you turn up and there's just fucking rabbits everywhere.
My dog would love that.
Like, but they're like, you know, rabbits, man, they're fucking super cute, aren't they? You know what I mean? So you turn up, like, death by rabbit. Like, they're all just, like, running up to you, like, and you're like, I want to take them all home. Let's have these rabbits.
No, but then I just think it's funny that Michael Jackson has that and then has to put together... a whole way to, one, get rid of the rabbits, one, get rid of the animals in the zoo and dispose of them. But two, when people or rich people have had to get rid of the houses, if you don't dispose of the animals correctly, they just bounce.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they're hungry, they will escape.
You know, I saw something earlier. Apparently, in Istanbul, cats are neither strays nor pets. They just, like, exist. In Istanbul, like, and but people look after them, apparently. Like, so you go to Istanbul. Apparently, there's just fucking cats everywhere. But they're not. They are stray, but they're not technically stray. They're just like kind of wild, and they're all well fed, and they're all looked after, and people love them and stroke them and fuss them, and they're just fucking everywhere. But there's like vending machines where you can put like some change in and turn the thing, and cat food drops to the bottom. And that's how these cats, like, stay fed. Like, the public just put spare change in and turn it and, like, keep these bowls full of food and whatnot, and everybody looks after them. But they don't, like, live in houses. They're just kind of wild and out there. But the whole city just takes care of the cats.
That's lovely.
Like, I want to go and live in Istanbul.
Just cats roaming around your mate.
Cats everywhere. And they're all, like, super nice. Not like the strays round here with opposing thumbs, you know what I mean? They're fucking breaking in your house.
Just wandering in and lying on your sofa. You're like, who the hell are you?
Shitting in the window.
No, but I went on a walk with my dogs. It's glorious sunshine again here in the city of Stoke. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself around animals, we could do with a few animals being added to our country.
Okay, what are we going for?
We need a few more dangerous animals, Dave.
Like pumas?
Well, pumas and panthers and stuff aren't dangerous. They're inconspicuous. You can never see them. But I'm thinking crocodiles.
Why?
Well, at this moment in time, England's as interesting as a badger or an adder.
Yeah, it's a bit shit.
I'm just thinking our landscape could do with things that we have to... Basically, Dave, I was sitting around looking at London. There's too many people in there and I just thought a crocodile could show up and this up quite quickly.
Oh, okay.
Just you know how in Florida where they get those 20-foot saltwater crocodiles?
The big buggers?
Yeah, just wandering down the streets. I think we need a couple of them.
I mean, we had the wild horses a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, in London, running through London?
We did.
That was a thing.
Now, just shows to prove how stupid horses are.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, my mum likes horses.
Yeah.
Niecy's got horses.
Yeah.
Do you know you can have a horse? True. You can have a horse fully trained for 20 years, never had an incident, never had a problem. And then a ladybird will land on the fence there and that horse will go, and run at full speed and leg it. That's exactly what was wrong with them. That's what would have happened. You've got terrible anxiety, horses have.
Get back here! I'm going to turn you into a ball of fucking glue.
Nice. That's what happens when horses freak out. They just go, but that's what they like.
Like, one of them ran into a bus. The bus stopped.
Yeah.
And the horse just carried on fucking running into the bus.
Yeah, because everything moves for a two-ton animal.
Oh, man.
If you think about you're a horse, everything moves for you. And then you're presented with this big red square. It's going to move, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the horse's face after it didn't move?
Fucked.
Yeah, that horse probably had to be put down.
It's probably a bottle of PVA now. Mm.
But it was a shame because I believe they were part of the Queen's Guard.
Yeah.
And if
Kings.
The kid. Oh.
still not used to it.
Still not used to it. Still can't get over Lizzie's death. But if the Queen was alive, and that wouldn't have happened under her guard.
Oh, okay.
I do believe that.
All right.
I do believe.
Yeah.
But that's just because we never had incidents like that when Queenie was here.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of people don't remember this generation, but there was an assassination attempt on the Queen. And she was on the back of a horse at the time.
Mm.
She was riding side saddle. She just trotted off. She kind of went, carried on. They all knew about it and everything else.
Off she goes.
And off she went. Lady she was. But anyway, just before we all go, we were football.
Oh, okay.
Because some major things have happened in football.
Okay.
English Premier League Saturday, we saw West Ham draw 2-2 with Liverpool, all but getting rid of Jurgen Klopp's quadruple celebration throughout the city of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Or the Rumbelows Trophy celebrations throughout the city of Liverpool. As now they've been knocked out the FA Cup, the Champions League. I don't think they're going to win the league, but they did win the Rumbelows Trophy. Fulham drew with Crystal Palace 1-1. Manchester United drew with Burnley 1-1. Don't know what's going on at Manchester United. The mighty Newcastle won 5-1 to send Sheffield United down and relegate them. Wolves beat Luton 2-1. Everton drew 1-0 at Brentford. And Aston Villa drew 2-2 at Chelsea. A bit closer to home, we had Southampton 0, Stoke 1. And we had to send Port Vale spiralling down. We had Port Vale 0, Cambridge United 0.
Yeah, don't really matter anymore for Vale, does it?
Don't matter no more for Vale. However, we did have a giggle at the weekend. I don't know if you saw the giggle that happened in Stoke-on-Trent at the weekend.
There was a giggle.
There was a giggle. Now, a couple of years ago, Stoke City got relegated from the Premier League. And the Port Vale fans sent over a plane. Albeit on the wrong day when they were playing, because Stoke didn't have a game. He was supposed to be on the Sunday. What Stoke did was a bit of revenge on the Vale fans and flew over a banner over the Port Vale ground as they were playing, saying, what was it? It's a Delilah lyric.
It said, she stood there laughing.
She stood there laughing.
And then N40.
And then N40. Yeah. Just so you know, guys, the N40 are probably 80 now, or 90. and they're called the not-so-scary pensioners. So, yeah.
One of my mates' dads was in Naughty 40.
Yeah, but how old is he now?
We're coming up. Well, I think she is 40, actually. Now.
Yeah,
so he'll be up there.
Yeah. He ain't chasing people around wearing Stone Island, throwing things at people anymore, is he? And then we had Sunday's fixtures. We had Bournemouth 3, Brighton 0. Tottenham 2, Arsenal 3. Proper humdinger. It was a good game. And Man City, well, Nottingham Forest 0, Man City 2. Then we had a bit of Champions League this week, Dave. I don't know if you've watched any of it.
I know the scores. I haven't seen it.
Bayern Munich 2-2 with Real Madrid. That was a fantastic game. That was a basketball match between two really good teams. Really enjoyed. And then on Wednesday, we had Dortmund 1, PSG 0. And then, yeah. And then last night, we had Eccleshall Ladies 11, Whirly Wanderers 1. With goals from pretty much everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean,
you can't really celebrate an 11-1 win.
No, it just gets a bit, like, you start feeling bad for the other team. Like,
after seven, it's like, the manager's, me and Phil were talking, and I absolutely love Phil, the manager, and he said, shall we make this change so it makes this difference? And I just kind of went, it's 8-0. I said, I think right now we could put the physio on the pitch and it have a positive impact. I don't know what to say to that sentence. The only thing that we did do that I wasn't happy about was conceding.
Right.
But that's to the goalkeeper coach, because that was a mistake.
Right, okay.
So he just got everyone looking at him like this.
Your fault.
Yeah. Fucking your fault. Keeper. Your fault. But no, all's good in the hood. Yeah.
Cool. We've got the Miami Grand Prix this weekend coming up. Yeah, we all know what's going to happen there. Snooker World Championship
started.
Everybody, all the big names are out.
Yeah,
they're all out.
I got it.
Ronnie and Judd Trump out in the quarters yesterday. Mm. A lot of the big names out in the first fucking round.
Who's going to win it?
Oh,
give me your tip for who's going to win it, and I'll place a bet on them right now.
Do you know what?
Got to do this stuff as we're on this telephone.
Let me just have a quick look at the at today's order of play.
Let's have a look now. Where are we now?
So it's Kyron Wilson and Dave Gilbert.
Snooker.
Which means it'll be, is it Jack Jones and Bingham, Stuart Bingham.
Killian Wilson's Kyron Wilson.
Kyron.
Massive favourite.
Yeah, Kyron Wilson is the odds on favourite. He has been to a final before. It would be lovely to see him win a final. I think he deserves it. He's a really good player. Stuart Bingham is playing like he was playing in 2015 when he won the world title. So I think it will be nice for Bingham to win another one, because that you win one, you know, people can win one, like, and it's great you've won one, well done. If you win two, like, it kind of solidifies you as one of, you know, you are one of the best. If you've won two world championships, you know, you've proved that you can do it again. You know what I mean? So it would be great for Bingham.
Is it worth putting a bet on Bingham?
He's playing really well, yeah. I think he was about 7-1, I think, last time I checked.
9-4,
okay.
Kyron Wilson is 11-10.
Yeah, he has odds on. Gilbert. Gilbert's been playing really well. I know this sounds thingy-like, but it's not a cop-out. If Gilbert beats Wilson in this semi-final.
Oh, shit!
What have you done?
I haven't done anything! Oh, Siri, you bastard! He's just placed a bet on Davy Gilbert for me because I've got the app open and everything as you're talking.
Oh.
I'm not even kidding.
It's not a bad bet in all fairness.
He's just placed the bet for me. You tosspot.
I was going to say, if he gets through Wilson today and tomorrow.
Sorry, I've just cashed that out.
He's been playing really well, and he's got a very good chance of winning. They all have, in all fairness. Jack Jones has come from nowhere. I think Stuart Bingham will be a little bit too. He's got more experience. He'll be more composed. He knows what it's like to play on the single table setup at the Crucible. He knows what it's like to win the World Championship, and I think he'll just be more composed. And he'll be the better player. So I think it's going to be Bingham in the final. Kyron Wilson's just won the first game.
Set.
Leg. Match. I don't remember what they call.
Table.
frame.
Frame, there we
have it. He's just won the first frame. So Gilbert's a good bet.
Yeah,
I think because he isn't odds-on favourite, you know, I wouldn't be scared of putting a tenner on him. You know what I mean? It's like, I think he is a good bet. But honestly, odds are saying it's going to be Wilson Bingham in the final.
Okay.
And it'll be a good final. It really will. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is, though, and there's been talk of a breakaway with the snooker because... Yeah. You know, there's more money to be made. And you had this whole, like, Saudi Open thing a few weeks back where they had, like, the golden ball where you could get a 1-6-7 break. It's weird. And the money was crazy. And there's a lot of the players, like the seeded players, who know they can go and make more money doing this other tournament that they're not allowed to do. And there's now talk of a bit of a breakaway.
It's very live golf, isn't it?
Whereas, there's a conspiracy theory that a lot of the big players lost in the first round because they're not going to be there next year and they're going to break away and do these other tournaments where there's more money for them. And your casual fan because the BBC only show three tournaments now, you know what I mean? And your casual fan wants to watch Ronnie O'Sullivan. They want to watch John Higgins. They want to watch Mark Williams, Mark Allen, Sean Murphy. These are the names that they know. Mark Selby, Judd Trump as well, you know. They want to watch these names. And when, you know, that's why the top 16 seeds, that's why that's still a thing. Because Barry Earn would have got rid of that and he would have just been... Yeah. You know, 127, I think it's 127 professional players, and you all get an equal shot.
Yep.
But then the BBC have gone, the ratings will drop if we don't have Ronnie and whoever else in this tournament. Nobody will want to watch it because the names aren't there, which is why the top 16 still get that seed into the first round. But, you know, the proof's in the pudding right there. Anybody can get knocked out in the first round. You know, Luca Brasil, current world champion, out in the first round. It's, you know, it's
on a plane to Saudi.
it's there. I think it'll be great, in all fairness, because these younger players will get a fucking shot, you know what I mean, playing in these bigger tournaments. Like, and Sean Murphy was one where they started doing this new thing where the top 16 would have to qualify for certain tournaments and they wouldn't just get that automatic like bye because they're in the top 16. And Mark Allen was one that went, I've earned the right because I've worked hard and I'm in the top 16 and I have earned the right to get that pass into these tournaments. And Sean Murphy went, if I'm a top 16 ranked player and I can't beat number 127 in the world, I don't deserve to be in that tournament. And that's the approach. That's the approach he took. It's a strange one.
And I don't think the Saudis bring anything bad to sports because they've increased boxing. They've put boxing on a bigger pedestal. Yeah, they have. The only sport they've not been able to infiltrate completely is football, but we're working on that.
Do you know where they could hold the world championship and it would generate more money? China.
They won't do that.
China would be the place to do it. It's fucking huge in China. They have tournaments in China all the time. It's huge in China.
There's something... We've got a thing about China and Japan, England has.
They could move it to China. But the Crucible is the heart of snooker. It's where the world championship's been since 1970-something. You know what I mean? That's where it is. But it's tiny.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that's where it should stay.
Exactly, yeah. It's fucking tiny.
That's what we need to come away from as England.
Look what Barry Earn did with the darts. He took it out of the fucking, whatever that shithole of a pub was that it used to be.
The Dog and Duck.
And Circus Tavern, that was it. Yeah. He took it out the tavern and put it in the fucking Alexandra Palace. You know what I mean? Massive. He took the Masters and put that in the Alexandra Palace. You know, the snooker Masters, like, you can get more people in there.
He took it out
more money.
Put it in the... Exactly.
You know what I mean? The Crucible is small. I've been there 3-4 times. It's tiny. It's also a bit of a shithole as well.
Yeah, because it's old.
Yeah, and it's a theatre. It's like the New Vic. It's a theatre in the round. That's what it is. It's just a theatre in the round. Why not? If you're, like, you know, if you're arguing with the BBC and with Sheffield and World Snooker and whatever about this tournament... Why not try and work with Sheffield Council and get them to fucking build another venue where you can put the snooker? So it stays in Sheffield.
You're close.
You know what I mean?
Work with the council and then work with the group of people who like building stuff, the guys who want make it bigger. Mm. So go to the Saudis and go, PIF, come over here, guys. Listen. We're going to build a big stadium. You know, like the co-op stuff, that the co-op stadium that...
That's all going fucking wrong at the moment.
The Dubai leadership have paid for from Man City. Very well done, by the way, guys. I love someone tried sell me some take that tickets on the cheap at the co-op stadium yesterday. I went, yeah, no thanks. They're not going to get to me, I don't think.
And everything's been cancelled.
Everything's been cancelled now, not just one thing.
Olivia Rodrigo, that's cancelled.
Everything, that's cancelled today as well, yeah. Everything's cancelled. Harry Styles is next on the list. They're going down the months, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Next up, cancelled. And just build a nice big one. Build one in Newcastle, build one in Sheffield, build one in the north, one in the east, one in the west. We don't need one in the south.
Just, you know, I mean, I think they should work with Sheffield and the BBC to keep it in Sheffield because, you know, I love Sheffield. It's a lovely city, Sheffield.
If that's where Snooker's born.
But the Crucible is tiny and it's a shit state. You know what I mean? They're now doing this thing where, like, I've been sat on the very fucking front row at the snooker, and when it's a two-table set, you can touch the fucking table from where you're sitting. That's how small it is, right? And I've sat on that front row. Now, to sit on the front row, you've got to pay hundreds. They're like reserved for these VIP fucking things, and it's ridiculous.
Not
but
for me.
That's how they're fucking trying to keep the money there, by charging more for the tickets. Here's an idea. Put it in a bigger fucking venue, charge less for the tickets, put more people in there. You know what I mean? More people will go. It's a massive tournament, and snooker fans love it.
And they can't just start treating it like a Taylor Swift concert.
I understand when they moved the darts out of the lakeside, it's the worst thing they could have fucking done with the BDO. It was already dying a death as it was. You've got your regulars that stay at the lakeside for a week. You know what I mean? Mm. They stay there, and they moved it to fucking like London, somewhere in London, I think. And nobody went. No, yeah, they were giving the tickets away. They were giving them away to get people in.
Because they've got no one
in.
Who's going
to
go, because they're missing out on what they do.
Yeah. So there's regulars that will go to the Crucible every year, and they'll buy multiple sessions, tickets for multiple sessions, you know what I mean? Mm. And if you take it out of Sheffield, you're going to lose that. I think keep it in Sheffield, put it in a bigger building. There's got to be a fucking building somewhere in Sheffield that's bigger than the Crucible.
And if there's not, build one.
That they can renovate.
Just
you know
build
what
one.
I mean? There's got to be somewhere.
Stick it in that theatre in Burslem.
Queens Theatre.
It's Queens, used to be the Nags, used to be Stato, whatever it used to be called, on that blue plaque that's on the wall. Stick it in there.
The Queens is lovely, you know. Queens Theatre is fucking gorgeous.
Stick it in there.
And it's derelict.
Derelict, yeah. That theatre in Burslem is an absolute beautiful theatre.
Yeah.
The only thing it needs is a little bit of investment.
To have the King's Hall, the Victoria Hall, and the Queen's Theatre in, like, 5 minute driving distance, like, between 10 minute driving distance between them, in one city, three gorgeous halls. The King's Hall's still in use. It needs some fucking money throwing at it, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Vicky Hall, obviously ATG have got that, so it's like, you know, throwing cash at it.
Yeah.
The Queen's Theatre, though, is, I think it's the best looking one out of all of them. It's beautiful. And it's just sat there doing nothing. There's no investment. Do you know, there was a, who was it now? There was a group of people who were going to invest into it and try and buy it and turn it into a Muslim wedding venue. Because there isn't one in Stoke. My neighbours, like, whenever there's... It's fucking ace round here when there's a wedding. You know what I mean? Whenever there's a wedding, like, you know, you get talking. There was one woman, she's doing everybody's makeup, this girl. She's doing all the girls' makeups. And she's proper stressed out. And she's like, I've got another five girls to do. And they're heading to Birmingham in a minute. I don't think I'm going to get them done. And I'm like, why are they going to Birmingham? And they're like, because there's nowhere around here for them to have the ceremony. And so we all go to Birmingham instead.
It's the cost because it's a listed building.
Yeah.
It's a grade two listy building.
They were looking into buying it, investing into it, and turning it into a venue for Muslim weddings. And I'm like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Fucking do it. Do something with it. You know what I mean? It's gorgeous. It needs
anything
to be open.
With it.
And you don't just have to have it for Muslim weddings. You could then open it up to anything else that wants to be there.
You could just do that on a Friday.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. Anyway. Let's fucking go home. Big thank you to everybody that listens week in and week out. You guys are awesome. Don't forget, there might not be a show for the next couple of weeks. There also might. So if we don't appear in your feed, it's all good. We'll be back. Don't panic. It's fine. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe on whatever your favourite podcast platform is. And follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's at ShinglersListPC. You can follow me, Shinglers_list. You can follow Cleon K. Bewley. Follow us on Instagram at Shinglers_list and KLBULY5, same for Threads, and on Facebook it's Shinglers List Podcast. You guys are awesome, and we will see you next time.